You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's Vodka Red Bull Friday here on The Fan. Powered by Scotty's Handcrafted Vodka. Scotty's Vodka is Maryland made, amazingly smooth and loved throughout the DMV. Toby Altizer sitting in for JP this week. We'll get to Britt Ciroli here in just a couple of minutes. I want to talk a little bit about the Washington Nationals. Curious to see her thoughts on the firing of Davey, Mike Rizzo, and the timing of all of this. It's still a little bit odd because Sunday is going to be a big day for the Nationals. You've got MLB draft coming up. You got the number one overall pick.
Got a decision to make.
It's the third time in the history of this team that they've had the number one overall pick. The first two have gone pretty well, I'd say, in Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I'd say that worked out pretty well. So we'll see exactly what she has to say about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Looking around the NFL, so it ranks the top 10. They recently put out a ranking of the top 10 tight ends in the league. Where do you think Travis Kelce comes in now?
Travis Kelce, I would believe he's still a top 10 tight end.
He's definitely a top 10 tight end.
I would go with number 7.
So he comes in at number 5 right now. I think that's interesting to see how he's kind of fallen down the list a little bit. He's 35 years old. Where do you think he ranks all time in terms of tight ends? I think, to me,
with the production and the Super Bowls, he's staying in the top 5.
I think he's right up there, top 3.
Yeah.
And I think there's an argument to be made about him, Gronk, and Tony Gonzalez.
Him, Gronk, Tony Gonzalez. You got Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp.
You know.
I think Shannon Sharp and then.
What's my man from the Chargers?
Antonio Gates. That's the guys I would go with.
Kellen Winslow, senior.
Mm-hmm. I think that Travis Kelce, in terms of his receiving ability, is so unique. Like, he doesn't blow you away with his speed. It's weird seeing him, like, juke guys out of his, because it doesn't seem like he's overly athletic, but he understands, I think, because he played the quarterback position, kind of the way that you need to bend routes and everything.
He and Zach Ertz are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
They know body position. They know, they basically play tight end like a basketball player. They'll run, and they just turn their back right to you, and they have enough arm space where they can reach out, grab the ball, pull it in. You know, so, but you just look at his production, man, over the years. Hell, he was the leading receiver on that team most times.
So the crazy part is you've got a guy who's number one on this list, and I think he deserves to be number one on this list, and it's Brock Bowers. He's only had 1 year in the league, but last year, what a year.
He balled out.
Because we know that rookie of the year is only ever going to go, or offensive rookie of the year when you have quarterbacks that are having stellar years like Jaden. Not saying he didn't deserve it, but when you look at the season that Brock Bowers
had
last year,
receptions, right?
112 receptions,
yeah,
just 6 yards short of 1,200 yards, 5 touchdowns. This dude was their whole offense last year, darn near.
Yeah.
It was their whole passing game. It's crazy to see. So this is something I think that's interesting when you look back and kind of compare it to what the Commanders did when they took Ben Sinnott. We're seeing more guys come in and be able to have an impact right away.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, tight end is still one of those positions that it can take a little bit of time. Right? So you can't give up on Ben Sinnott.
No.
Just yet, because, you know, it's still going to take time for him to develop.
Well, Ben's, most tight ends come in and they don't have anybody else on the team. And they draft him to go out there and play immediately. Ben was drafted with Zach Ertz on this football team.
Yeah.
So you're not going to just step in and automatically just have it. But Ben has some little flashes. This offseason he's done some things. He'll be all right.
Yeah, and I think he's going to learn and continue to learn from Zach Ertz. So hopefully he can step in and play a bigger role this year. But it's time to get out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in our friend from The Athletic, Britt Giroli. Britt, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing great. Did you find the timing of, because I don't know that anybody could look at where the Nationals currently are at and look at Davey and Rizzo being fired. I don't know that anyone could look at that as like a big time shock in terms of the results, but the timing of it felt weird. Like, why now? Why a week ahead of the MLB draft? Was that the thing that shocked you the most?
Yeah, I think that was definitely the most shocking part. Like, if you had told me those guys weren't going to be back next year, I would have said, yeah, I can see that. But, you know, to have this done right before the number one pick, right before the trade deadline, I think especially for an ownership group that, as we know, has not been the most engaged, that certainly was a big surprise.
What was it a little shocking that it didn't happen in the 11-game losing streak? And it happened when it did?
No, I mean, like I said, I think if it had happened at the end of the season, that I would have been fine with it. I think during the losing streak, I really never thought they'd make a move because they just haven't been a very engaged ownership group. They've been very apathetic since Ted Lerner has died. So I did not really expect anything but the status quo until, you know, it was time to. And I thought, too, you know, Davey, obviously, they had to make a decision on his option, but Mike Rizzo, they didn't have to until next year or until the end of the year. So I think they could have easily said to those guys, hey, we're not bringing you back, but we're going to let you finish out the year. So it was very, very surprising.
Talking with Britt Giroli from The Athletic, you recently wrote an article saying the Lerners made one big move. Don't expect another from the Nationals owners. Don't expect them to make another big move. So I'm curious, what do you think caused this move at this time? Was it something where frustration had built and they finally decided to do something? Was it something that they'd seen kind of the national headlines going around of how bad this baseball team is and they felt like they needed to make a move? What caused them to finally make this shakeup that maybe could have been a couple years too late or maybe could have waited till the offseason as well?
Yeah, I think the ownership group was finally getting a lot of heat, you know, nationally. Ken Rosenthal wrote a great story for The Athletic earlier in the year. I think locally some of the outlets had started to kind of wonder what was going on with this team and the direction of this team. And, you know, we know that the Lerners don't really handle criticism well. So I think they did it to kind of take the heat off of them for a little while. That's my best guess as to what happened. I know there's all kinds of theories floating around, but that to me kind of makes the most sense as to why now.
Well, they made the move now. And now you got to move forward. And if you want to keep people off your back completely, you got to have a game plan. Do you think they have a game plan?
A game plan is in who they're going to hire next.
Yeah,
or
who they're going to hire next. And then they have to make, like, they have to be engaged moving forward now. Mm-hmm. You no longer have Davey here, Rizzo here, where he was kind of the shield for them. Now you won't be having that shield.
Yeah, I think. No, I don't think they're just going to wake up and be a super engaged ownership group. I think right now, interim GM Mike DiBartolo is probably the strongest candidate to stay on as GM. Keep in mind, they've never actually had to hire a GM. Mike Rizzo was here when they bought the team. And so I don't think a whole lot is going to change, which is why I wrote that column. You know, people were texting me like, oh, are they going to sell now? Because somebody could come in and get their own people in place. And you know, I laid out in the article all the reasons why I just don't see that happening for at least a few years. And, you know, I don't think this is a case where they're going to all of a sudden be handing out big checks or anything. You know, they do need to find a manager. We know they don't like to pay managers historically. So the answer to your question, no, I don't see a whole lot changing.
And that's what's so concerning, I think, about all of this is if nothing's going to change, then are you just making a move just to, like you said, take some of the heat off? Because we saw just a little bit before Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez were let go. They finally added jersey sponsor patches on the side of their jerseys, which brings in a couple million a year. They still haven't sold naming rights, but at least now they're not the only team in Major League Baseball without a patch or a naming sponsor on the stadium. And then they decide to fire the... like. But if nothing's going to change, Britt, like what gives hope to Nationals fans that they can get back to the form that they had in the 2010s where they were competing for winning baseball teams and the goal wasn't just to hope that their young guys played well each night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I do think there's a lot of respect around the industry for DiBartolo. I think he mentioned ramping up their technology and analytics. I do think that that is certainly possible, even under a shoestring budget. You really are going to have to probably, if you want wholesale changes and wish for the days of the Nationals to be back in the top 10 in payroll, you're probably going to have to wait until they sell this team and until they get people in places that do a better job. Look, it's not just the learners. I think it's some of the people they've had in place for years. Like, the revenue has not been good. I mentioned in the article the attendance has been down and people nitpicked and said, oh, it's up 4% this year versus last year. No. I mean, since 2019... from 2012 to 2019, guys, they were regularly drawing over 2.2 million, sometimes 2.5, 2.6 million fans. They have not gone over the 2 million mark since 19. They've had one season where they hit 2 million, and that was it. This is in the last 6 years. So, you know, they're bringing 1.7 now and 1.8. That's a revenue hit. Corporate sponsorships are down. That's a revenue hit. You guys mentioned the jersey patches that they're finally having. They haven't sold the stadium. They haven't found a way to keep this team viable. I think they're in a lot of debt and it's not a super profitable organization right now. And, you know, I don't know if the learners are going to find a way to get back on track. I think the best course of action for them and in their own minds as well is probably to hang on, get through this next CBA, which could have a lockout, figure out what media rights deals look like in about 2028. And then when it's at a better valuation, the organization, the franchise, then you sell it because, you know, I don't think they're in it for the long haul at all. I think their quotes suggest that they're just kind of buying time here a little bit. So if you're a Nationals fan, I think it's sort of unfortunate. You know, I was thinking about this. Is James Wood going to be part of the next good Nationals team?
Yeah.
Right? Are they going to be good while they still have him under control?
Yeah.
Wow.
What about Gore? What about Abrams? You can make the case that maybe not, in which case now you are dealing away another young star and all the national fan base has seen. Now, they did get a World Series in 19, but all they have seen has been stars leave the organization, and that's really tough to root for and tough to build a fan base around.
That's a hell of a problem. I mean, like, and then you look at the fact they have so many guys right now, young guys that are very talented on this team, and just like you just stated, I think about it all the time. Why bring them in and we start getting hyped up about them and then as soon as they are ready to get paid, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know? So if that's the mindset, they may as well sell the damn team.
Right. But now they'd be selling low and they don't want to do that. This was the issue why they took the team off the market several years ago because they weren't getting the valuations that they wanted. So I just don't see that happening right now.
Talking with Britt Giroli from The Athletic. So I'm curious, when you look at the TV rights, do you think it just ends up back on Masson next season? Like, Ted Leonsis has said, I believe on our station, that if he doesn't own the team, that he's not particularly interested with them being on Monumental. Maybe that's just something, I don't know, maybe he's just saying that. Maybe he still does want them for the right price. But do you think we just end up with the Nationals back on Masson next season and then maybe they can sign a bigger rights deal after the lockout?
I think they could go to MLB, too. A lot of teams without homes have gone to MLB, you know? So that, in my mind, could probably be something that they do. That seems to be more likely to me than them going back to Masson, is to going to MLB and kind of joining that group of, you know, teams that really don't have a home. And that's kind of what Rob Manfred wants to do, is to build up a big package, a big enough one that they can kind of sell themselves on a grander scale. So, you know, it remains to be seen, but that to me seems like the most logical thing, unless Leonsis buys them and puts them on Monumental.
Does that cap revenue, though, if you're on MLB, or is that still a decent revenue source?
Yeah, lots of teams take haircuts, but I think the Nationals haven't had a whole lot of revenue in general from that, and you know, I don't think that there's like this RSN or Masson that are like prepared to offer, blow them away. You know, all these RSNs are struggling as well. So I think you kind of have to hitch your cart to MLB and hope that the league can get enough of these teams together to package it up and make it worth someone's while.
Well, they have the number one pick coming up on the draft on Sunday. Where do you think they go?
That I don't know. I don't know. I think, you know, you really want to draft talent. Do you go for Ethan Holliday because you know this guy's going to be ready because his family, you know, what, such a long lineage? I probably would lean that way. You need to get it right no matter who you take. Mm-hmm. Because you don't often have the number one pick. And you know, I know people were worried that they got rid of Rizzo, but make no mistake, DiBartolo has been in the room. He's very well versed in what Mike Rizzo was going to do or was planning on doing. And I don't see like a whole lot of deviation there. This isn't like a draft, guys, where there's a Bryce Harper, right? This is a very much a draft of like four or five good players at the top. And it's going to be interesting to see which way the Nationals go. I personally think the easiest one would probably be a guy like Holliday, but you know, I'm not in that room and I don't pretend to be a draft expert by any means.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about DiBartolo. Do you get a sense that that's just where they're going to go with their general manager in the future? Is they're just going to remove the interim tag and he becomes the general manager? Or do you think that they're going to cast a wide net? And something that I want to see them do is, even if they were to just go with DiBartolo, at least go out and see if there's someone in the Rays organization or the Dodgers organization, or choose any smart organization around baseball that you could potentially poach and look at as your future general manager? Or do you think it's just the easiest route and that's the way that they go to just make Mike DiBartolo the GM?
I said earlier, I think he's a strong candidate, and then nothing has changed. I think he is a strong candidate. I do think, and I wrote this in the column in The Athletic, that they're going to conduct like a formal interview search, I think. Even if they think DiBartolo is their best guy, it doesn't hurt to canvas. It doesn't hurt, like you guys said, to bring in people from other organizations, see how they view the Nationals, see what they would do. And I think public perception, right? If you're getting crushed because you don't care, well, even if you really don't care and you are apathetic, you have to go out and at least go through the motions a little bit and interview people for this job. So that is why I think that they will do that, even if they think they'll stay internal.
Talking with Britt Ciroli from The Athletic on the Rude Guest Hotline, just a couple more for you. What do you think this team is going to do at the trade deadline? Do you think they're pretty active? I mean, I don't know that there's names that are super attractive for other teams, but do you think they're, you know, going to wholesale sell all the guys that are on those expiring contracts and just, you know, see what they can get for each of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in trying to see who you can get for some of these guys for sure. I think the biggest question for them is Gore. Do you trade Gore? He's at the exact same spot in terms of under team control wise that Juan Soto was when you traded Juan Soto. So, you know, if you can trade someone like that, you can actually get some real pieces back. Otherwise, I think you're looking at this trade deadline and, you know, you've got a bunch of guys who maybe you can dangle, the Kyle Finnegans of the world, and you're really not going to get anything back of impact. Now, if you decide that Gore is available, and they haven't, I think they're still kind of parsing through that. There's been so much upheaval, obviously, with Mike Rizzo being let go. Then you can actually get a package back of young players. But then on the flip side, it's like, okay, you are trading away a young, talented, all-star guy again, right? So I think it's going to be tough to see which way this front office goes, especially because they're still getting their bearings a little bit, having lost a guy who had been in charge for almost 19 years.
Last one for you, Britt. How important is this opportunity for James Wood at the All-Star game? Being out there, a chance to market himself. I saw MLB.com had him ranked as the fifth number five hitter in MLB hitter power rankings, and it feels like he's starting to get some of that recognition. But how big of an opportunity is it for him to be out there for the Home Run Derby, playing in his first All-Star game, and a team that isn't really noteworthy at all nationally, to have him at least be able to be on that national stage?
I think it's huge. I think everybody should know his name. I mean, I've told this story before, but when the Padres were talking to the Nationals about trading Juan Soto, the one player that AJ Preller did not want to include was James Wood. And if you remember at the time, he was, you know, that there were other names. You know, we focused on, you know, Gore and Abrams and we, you know, the bigger guys. Mm-hmm. I think Wood was maybe an A-ball at the time. And, you know, the day after the trade, you know, I had a friend tell me this story. You know, he's talking to Preller, and Preller just looks like, you know, his dog died. And, you know, he's like, what's wrong? And Preller's like, I just traded away a future star. You know, so I think when you look at James Wood, you know, and credit A.J. Preller and the Padres for finding him and developing him, he was always kind of meant to be a star. I think he's someone that he was really under the radar when they made this move, and somebody who, if you had just traded Juan Soto for him straight up right now, we'd be saying that's a pretty good trade, right? Regardless of all the other guys who got thrown in as well. So he is so shy and introverted that I do think it's really good for him to be on this stage. I think he should be marketed. I think everybody should know who he is. I don't know how much he embraces that spotlight. It could be something he grows into. We've certainly seen Juan Soto grow into that. Guy who really enjoys the spotlight. He was not always like that as well. But he's just a terrific story. He's great to watch. You know, I tell people all the time, even if you don't like the Nationals, you know, flip around. If James Wood is up, leave it on. Yeah. You're going to want to watch him hit. I think he's that good.
He is good.
100%. Britt, appreciate the time. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
That's Britt Giroli from The Athletic. Make sure you check out her work, her latest column. The Learners made one big move. Don't expect Nationals owners to make another. It is a little bit doom and gloom right now around the Nats, but, I mean, it's disappointing, frankly. They need to start winning some ball games, but I'm excited to see upcoming week what you're going to see with the MLB draft, what you're going to see with James Wood in the Derby, and then him and Gore in the All-Star game. So at least there are some positive things coming up for the Washington Nationals. Staying on the negative side, though, there was recently an article written about the worst NFL coaching hires of the last 25 years. How many Redskins, Commanders, football team coaches you think pop up on this list? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
P. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP. Appreciate Britt Giroli for joining us last segment talking about the Nationals. Getting back into the NFL and staying on the negative notes following some Nationals talk.
Yeah.
Worst NFL coaching hires the last 25 years.
Ooh.
So this article's written by CBS Sports. There's a couple of Redskins coaches on here.
Who is the absolute worst, they say?
Take a guess. He didn't last a full season. His full record was 2-11.
Damn.
Wasn't that long ago.
What team?
Jacksonville. He's so forgettable as an NFL head coach. He's a really good college coach. Won multiple national championships. Florida, Ohio State. He now works.
What's called?
He's on Fox.
In a running back.
With Reggie Bush and the guys?
Not Reggie, the other guy from Alabama. They do a podcast.
Mark
together.
Ingram?
Yeah.
It's Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the right answer. He is one
he
of the
was,
worst.
Yeah.
Here's another guy.
He thought he can do what he did in college in the pros.
Here's another guy. Well, first of all, he didn't understand how to. Do you remember some of the stories that were coming out of the stuff that he was doing while he was the coach?
Mm-hmm.
Like a kicker missed a kick and he yelled at him and then kicked him or something stupid like that.
Oh,
like,
he kicked me. See, bro, listen, one thing is this. You give respect to those who respect you.
Yeah.
Once they cross that line, you treat them how they're supposed to be treated. He would have kicked me or any of those dudes I played with in my career. They'd have been cleaning them up off the ground somewhere.
Or
he'd have some chiclets.
Number two on this list, I don't recall him coaching in the NFL. Granted, I would have been a kid when this happened. I think this was the 2007 season with the Atlanta Falcons, Bobby Petrino.
Okay.
He went 3-10. They got him number two on this list.
He came in and got out quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three, Cam Cameron with the Dolphins. He went 1-15. I remember him.
Cam used to be on the staff here.
I'm surprised.
Early on, he was here with Joe.
The only reason that this guy isn't number one is because of how inept these other guys were, but he is one of the worst head coaches I've ever seen.
Ooh.
He's a good play caller. He's not a good head coach. Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
He can't
Denver
lead a room.
Hire him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He just can't lead a room.
And listen, that is something I think owners need to understand. A guy could call plays, offensive, defensive, but if he can't lead men, he cannot be your head coach. He cannot be your head coach.
It's something that I underestimated when they brought in Dan Quinn, is his ability to galvanize
yes.
a locker room, galvanize a group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we were sold when they hired Dan Quinn about the connections that he had and how much guys loved working and playing for him. And you saw that.
Yeah.
Because guys stuck around when they had opportunities to go elsewhere, but they're like, I don't know that it's a better opportunity than here. You saw that with Cliff. You saw that with some of the other coaches. You saw players want to come over here, like Bobby Wagner. I don't think Bobby Wagner was playing for this football team last year if Dan Quinn wasn't the coach. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's worked out. And I think that's something that I think you look at the top guys on this list, and they weren't able to do it. Number five on this list, another guy for the Broncos that didn't last a full season, and I don't. He was a terrible hire, frankly, when he was hired, was Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
That dude.
And that's Aaron's guy, right?
That dude rode Aaron Rodgers' coattails to the.
Right, Aaron Rodgers got him another job, too.
Mm-hmm. Right back as his offensive coordinator. Number six was Jim Tomsula, 5-11 with the Niners. Number seven, Marty Morningwig, 5-27 with the Lions. So skipping down this list a little bit, Art Shell, Matt Patricia, Rod Marinelli.
Matt Patricia was a horrible one.
This one's always funny because he kept keeping his job, and I don't know why. I think he's a decent coach in terms of play caller and could come up with some stuff, but Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
His record with the Browns, 3-36-1. How do you keep a job that long?
Hey, I think when you first come in, that first year you got to get an opportunity, but They went, didn't they go in 16 one time with him?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the next year they followed it up with like 1-15 or 2-14. Yeah. And he kept his job again.
Well, he was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Adam Gase with the Jets is 12. Dennis Erickson, 13 with the Niners. Gus Bradley, 14. There's a couple of Commanders coaches or Redskins coaches on this list, I believe. 15 with Steve Spagnuolo with the Rams. That's an interesting name right there.
Spags.
This was a bad stretch. There's no question about it. It didn't work out with the Rams. Is no one ever going to give him a shot again?
Because I'm going to tell you, man, he was on the staff in Philly. Dude's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, he has, like, when you're on a team, you're not always dealing with the head coach. There are certain coaches, like when I first got here, Wayne Sevier basically ran that team for Coach Gibbs. Wayne Sevier was a special teams coach, and Wayne Sevier would get on anybody, everybody. He would tell you, he was the guy that was telling you, yeah, your stuff stinks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wasn't the one that
let you know.
He will let you know. And they have guys like that. Steve was very much that guy in Philly.
So maybe it just didn't work as him being the full-time leader?
Probably just, you know, it just didn't. No, he can lead guys is what I'm saying. And he's a guy that would get on people, get them right. Just probably had a horrible team.
Yeah.
You watch, man, when they put him back in that defensive realm, that defense
he's
is
special.
Good. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's one of the best defensive coordinators.
Another chance, man.
What year did he coach the Rams? Let's see. He coached the Rams starting in 2009. So their leading passer that year was Mark Bulger.
That right there, that's the problem. Mark Bulger was your quarterback.
B. Mitch, they finished the year with 12 passing touchdowns and 21 interceptions.
Mark Bulger was your quarterback.
All right. The following year they went 7-9.
Jeff Walker is your quarterback.
The following year they went 7-9, and they had Sam Bradford. Bradford threw 18 touchdowns, threw 15 picks.
You couldn't throw 20 touchdowns in a damn kindergarten league.
There's no chance.
Cut his mic off, Landfill.
I already threw for 20 touchdowns on college football.
Well, yeah, college football is easy. I just want him. I'm undefeated this year with Virginia Tech.
You're playing on, like, varsity.
I'm playing on Heisman, dog. I don't play on any easy difficulties. The following year, they went 2-14. Did Sam Bradford get hurt this year? Yeah, he did. A.J. Feely.
Sam Bradford.
Oh, my gosh.
A.J. was my guy.
They had no offense ever
but
when he was
I'm
there.
Saying. A.J. Feely was our third quarterback in Philly. And I like A.J. A.J. came in, we did go. We won 4-1 with him at quarterback. But we had a loaded team that year as well.
B. Mitch, listen to the 3 years that he was the coach and their touchdown to interception ratio.
It was probably 30-something to 60-something.
Year one, he was 12 touchdowns to 21 picks.
Mm-hmm.
The following season, when Sam Bradford played every game, he had 18 touchdowns to 15 picks. Listen,
30 and 36 right there.
Listen to year number three. 9 touchdowns.
39.
10 picks.
46.
That's horrible. No one could win. With that sort of quarterback play.
That's what I'm saying. So that happened, and the head coach gets blamed for that.
Yeah.
So.
That's what happens. That's part of the job. But, man, I'm surprised he hasn't got another shot. Dennis Allen's on this list at 16 with the Raiders. Joe Judge with the Giants. Remember that? It's always funny seeing all these guys that they tried to pluck off of Belichick's staff, and they didn't work out. Greg Schiano's at 18. B. Mitch, we got the first Washington coach on here at number 19. Who do you think?
Greg Schiano is it? First one is going to probably be the maroon, black, and yellow. Zorn?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Zorn is at 19. Yeah. It says, Zorn's primary issue may have been that he was never qualified for the job.
Didn't know his colors of a team either.
Yeah, Jim Zorn, I think that deserves to be up there. So it's back-to-back Washington coaches.
The ball coach. I can tell you one thing, though. He was a scratch golfer.
Is he really?
Man can play some golf now.
Well, I'm sure he can.
Old Steve Spurrier, man. He can play some golf.
He's not coaching anymore, is he?
Hell no.
He was good at South Carolina.
Did he win the Heisman Trophy or something like that?
I'm not sure if he did. He was good at South Carolina. I liked his teams there. Now you got Frank Beamer's son over there, Shane Beamer. Yeah, I mean, not great. Dave Campo, finishing out this list, Dave Campo at 21. Lovie Smith is at 22 with the Texans. David Culley. Now, this is what's interesting about these with the Texans.
They just hired people and didn't give them chances.
Yeah, Lovie Smith didn't get a shot. David Culley didn't get a shot.
Yeah, David, that was my quarterback coach in college. David recruited me out of high school. David and I, we still talk all the time. Plays golf every day now. I said, Coach, what you going to do, man? They let you go. He said, well, you know, getting paid for five more years. That was a year and a half, 2 years ago. He said, I'm going to get both hips replaced and I'm going to become a golfer.
I like
and
that.
And he has been golfing his ass off. Every day I see David Culley just finished this round. David Culley just finished that round.
That's the way to do it right there.
Yes.
Just final couple on this list. 24 is Nick Saban with the Dolphins. And then 25, they go through this stretch for the Browns, where it was Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Pat Shurmur, Rob Chudzinski, and Mike Pettine. I mean, that's a pretty bad stretch. They combined to go 57 and 119. B. Mitch, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I'm not one that has lofty dreams. I'm not one that has big-time goals. I kind of just go about my life, and you know, I set little goals here and there, but I'm not one that sets major goals in life. I do have one goal in life. This is my big-time goal. I want to be good enough to become a professional head coach and get fired so that I can just cash paychecks. That's what I want to do.
Yeah,
because I think that's the best gig in the world. Landfill, can you get on board with that? Can we become NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever? Can we get good enough to become coaches in some league so that we can get fired after a year? Or maybe even in season. Sign me like to a 3 or 4 year contract,
yeah.
Just $1 million a year, whatever, and then fire me, please, so I can go do what David Culley's doing now and playing golf.
Play golf.
Like, I'm totally down with that.
I think I'll take some time so I can go hang out with David.
You should.
Go play golf with him a couple times.
Yeah, I think that's the best job in the world, is a fired coach. I respect the guys that come back and do it again. Like, if I were Cliff Kingsbury, I respect the heck out of him. Why? He's still getting paid.
Yep.
He could just be sitting at home.
Yep, he won the Heisman Trophy in 1966.
Did he really?
Yep.
Where did he go?
1966.
Did he go to Florida?
I don't know. I'm trying to find it now. Doesn't show his
Let's
team.
See. His playing career.
SEC Player of the Year, so he probably went to Florida.
Let's see. When he played in college, I'm trying to find when he played. I can't find it either.
66, dog.
That's a long time ago.
he won the Heisman before I was born.
That's crazy. Because that's a while ago. He went to Florida.
He played quarterback
from 64 to 66.
The dude was an athlete now.
All-American and won the Heisman Trophy in 1966.
He's in the National High School Hall of Fame. Florida Football Ring of Fame.
There's no question why.
SEC Player of the Year in 1966. Two-time first-team All-SEC 1965 and 66. Unanimous All-American 65 and 66. The Walter Camp Memorial Award.
I can play.
UPI Player of the Year. Sports Nation Player of the Year. Heisman Trophy winner. He was a baller, man.
Yeah, no kidding. No wonder he can hit the golf ball. He's a good athlete. Maybe not a good coach
just
in the NFL. He was a good college coach, though. He was decent in college.
Yeah, because like in college, Florida was Alabama back then. They got all the top athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you're going to win. But then he got to the pros, and everything was even. And I remember their blocking scheme. Their blocking scheme, they blocked the person that crossed their face, the offensive lineman. Well, if you went over here, he didn't block you. And we lit him up.
Yeah.
He played against
them. Yeah. It is list season, so we just went through one list of the 25 worst NFL coaches. Two Washington coaches were featured, with Jim Zorn and with Steve Spurrier. Next, taking a look at another list, where do you think the NFC East ranks in terms of divisional power rankings in the NFL? We'll take a look at that next, as well as Ask B. Mitch Anything coming up at 1 o'clock.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So you're 2-for-2. AFC South is 8. NFC South is 7.
All right. Then I'm going to go. I have to figure it was 1, 2, 3. Damn.
Well, who do you think is at the top then?
I think the AFC North is at the top.
Okay, so they're 2 on this list.
They're 2? Mm-hmm. So I have to go with the... They're 2?
They're 2 on this list. I probably would flip-flop them. I would have them at 1, probably.
And then the I guess they go to AFC West.
They're at 3 on this
list. They're
3?
Mm-hmm. The NFC East. They got them at the top?
No, they're 4th.
Right. They're 4th. The first, who the hell would be the first?
I mean, they had 2 teams last year that were spectacular, but I don't know if they're going to repeat that look.
The AFC North.
NFC North.
NFC North.
NFC North is number 1.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I would think that the damn NFC East is better than the NFC North.
I think going into this year, that's a legitimate discussion because NFC North.
You got
North,
a Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. You got us here. Dallas isn't horrible.
No.
They're not good. It's horrible. And I think the only thing that keeps us down is the damn Giants. I mean, that's Brian's team.
NFC North, though. So
NFC North, AFC North.
Then you've got AFC West. NFC East.
Then the NFC East.
Then they go NFC West, AFC East, and then the 2 South.
NFC West, Seattle and...
L.A. Rams.
L.A. Rams, San Francisco. Yeah. And so, then who follows them?
Then it's the AFC East, the Bills and the Patriots, Bills, Patriots, Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's not a whole lot going on.
You know
on
what?
That division.
They're not bad, but I think that top one it should be flip-flopped.
Yeah, I agree. So the NFC North, they have it number one. I don't necessarily agree that that's the top division, even though last year you had a 15-win team and a 14-win team. I don't think anyone thinks that the Vikings are going to repeat what they did last year. I would think that the Lions are going to come down off that pedestal a little bit. I mean, it's kind of hard to replicate a 15-win season, but you also lost both your offensive and defensive coordinator. And by the way, we saw a team that was at the highest point or at close to the highest point and got to a Super Bowl, lose both of their coordinators.
Yeah.
And then the next year they struggled, and that was Philadelphia.
Yep.
Now they were right back on it the following year, and they end up winning the Super Bowl, but it took a little bit of time for them to adjust to losing both coordinators. I don't just think that Detroit's going to be back up there and immediately say, you know, oh, they're going to be a 13, 14, 15-win football team again. So I understand why, because they're probably counting on the Bears more than they would be counting on the Giants to kind of bounce back. But I don't know. I don't necessarily believe in Chicago until I see Chicago do it, because Chicago has never been able to develop a quarterback. So we'll see if Ben Johnson can do that.
A long time.
I think you're right, though. To me, it's the AFC North is the top team, because even when the Browns are bad, with Kevin Stefanski and with the guys that they have on that team, even though they're quote-unquote bad, they're still not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the defense...
They're competitive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And obviously we know with Baltimore...
They're tough out.
You know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. I mean, that's the best quarterback division in the league, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Lamar, you look at Joe Burrow, Pittsburgh, and I guess maybe you look... But those top two are just so good.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess you could make an argument the NFC East could be there, up there with them. AFC West has now Geno over there. I forgot about him going there. Bo Nix. I guess that's probably the best one, honestly. Patrick Mahomes, Bo Nix, Geno Smith, and Justin Herbert. That's probably the best quarterback division. But I think the NFC East being in the middle of the pack, I have no issue with that.
Like I said, third or fourth, I thought it would be.
But, I mean, you look at the top of the division this team is in now, and the funny part about the NFC East is no one ever goes back-to-back, and everybody presumably is going to take the Eagles to win the division. And if we've learned anything about this division over the last 20 years...
That's been going on since I played.
The Eagles aren't going to win the division this year.
That was, what, 2001, 2001, when the Eagles did it.
Yeah, last repeat winner of the NFC East was 2004. That's crazy.
2004?
Yeah. So they won from, I guess, 2001 to 2024.
Okay.
Yeah, or 2004.
Yeah.
And so now it's been 21 years or 20-plus years that
that's a long time. So if we've learned anything,
then that means that...
It probably going to be another team winning.
It won't be the Eagles, which is crazy to think
about.
Probably
won't be the Giants.
There have been Super Bowl champions coming out of this division. So the best chance, if you're going to look at it and say that the Eagles aren't going to win it, is the Commanders. But... You know, maybe the Cowboys have a little bit of a resurgence. You felt like in years past.
Maybe not.
I hope not.
I'm talking to the sisters in the French Quarters to put that thing on them again.
What's the...
That voodoo.
Who's their new coach again? It's Who is it?
Brian Schottenheimer. Yeah.
That was crazy to me.
As good a coach as Brian Hawk.
I might put White Brian ahead of him.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know.
He can probably call plays. You just need to give him like the Madden call sheet where he can just click, do you want circle X, Y? we'll just pick a button and then it'll call it in for him.
Nah, man, Brian, too easy going and laid back to be calling plays, man.
I don't see him being
like, what the hell you say, coach?
I don't see him being able to call in a play when they're so wordy. That's the thing that always amazes me when you watch
these. But not all the plays are like that. Some of these coaches lose their damn mind. Listen, Andy Reid, I tell you to your face, I told him before, why is one play 20-something words, though? That makes no damn sense.
Was that the hardest offense you had to learn?
The verbiage, yes. But, I mean, he'll have 20-something words in that in the play, and where I came from with Norv, 5 words. Exact same play. So
what is it, just like tagging stuff?
You're basically telling everyone what they're doing. Yeah, listen, if I said Jack Wright 478, everybody know what to do. They're going to say, you know, X this, Y this, Z this.
You're literally naming every responsibility.
Everybody knows everything. So like I say, if you're running back and they call out the play and you make a mistake, you wasn't listening because they tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You know? It's just too much stuff.
Yeah, sometimes those things get incredibly wordy. But regardless, running through this list real quick again. Number one, NFC North. Two, AFC North. Three, AFC West. Four, NFC East. NFC West is fifth. Do you think that the Rams are going to be good this year?
I think so. I think Sean is a good enough coach. And then I think Stafford is an underrated quarterback. People don't give him the love they should.
I think this is a do-or-die season for San Francisco as well. I don't know if they would move on from Kyle Shanahan, but at some point you got to win something, and they're moving on from their pieces, and it's a big season.
They get rid of coaches before players, though.
And it's a big time season for Brock Purdy as well. You just paid him a lot of money.
Well, he ain't going nowhere.
And he doesn't have the weapons that he's had the last couple of years. Loses Debo.
He has 3 years guaranteed, though.
Yeah, we'll see if he can step up. AFC East, like we said, Josh Allen leads that division. We'll see if the other guys can step up. NFC South, AFC South, I don't think we need to spend time on those. Those divisions suck. They've sucked for quite some time, it feels like.
Pathetic.
It. Very, very bad. Coming up next, 1 o'clock staple on a Friday on B-Mitch and Finley. It is Ask B-Mitch Anything Next. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Ask Brian Mitchell Anything comes up next.
Let's do it.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.